But we're, even now, as we just demonstrated, into an old normal changing to a new normal. Everything around us has changed, whether it's the quarantine or the masks or the social distancing. The restaurants have closed, the gyms have closed in California, the hair salons and barbershops have closed, and of course the churches have now closed. And so we're looking at all of those things in our lives, wondering about the old normal and our new normal. What is going to look like? Will it stay around? How much of it will stick around? So that's our series that we're in right now. And last week we looked at how the new normal will affect our families, our children, our parenting. This week we look at marriage. Next week we look at how the new normal will look for our church, specifically Maranatha. So I encourage you to listen on that one. And then finally, the last week will be our relationship with God. How does that change with our new normal? Really, the message today, though, even though it's specifically for marriage, is for anyone, whether you're married, about to be married, haven't been married for a while, or you've been single for a while. It doesn't matter. Bottom line is that the message is that crisis doesn't build character. Now, we've heard the phrase crisis builds character, but that's just not true. If you don't have the character in place when the crisis hits, it won't be of any good at all. So crisis doesn't build character. Crisis reveals our character. And Karen and I have celebrated 35 years of marriage together, and we have experienced some really great times together, some not so great times together that comes with marriage. We've had some opportunity, however, this year we were going to go to Italy, our first time out of the country, actually, together. But we planned it for April. Anybody who knows what was happening in April of this year, and the country of Italy specifically, knows that our plans were skirted there. So our effort at an anniversary, at renewing and rekindling our marriage vows, was kind of put on hold. Now we have a new focus, but that's the whole point of this series, is that we need to have a new focus. We need to see how life is changing and how we are changing with it. Now, I have found that all marriages eventually go through three deals, if you will, the ideal, the ordeal, and the new deal. See, when you kiss at the altar and walk down the aisle as husband and wife, you feel like you found the perfect guy, the perfect gal. Otherwise, why would you have gotten married that person in the first place? So you say to yourself, I have found my ideal. Prince Charming meets his beloved princess, and they're going to live happily ever after. Our lives, our marriage will be perfect, but that's not reality. Reality is that no marriage will last forever without any difficulties, without any trials, or without any tribulations. Why is that? The reason is very, very simple if you think about it. Because we're all sinners. That's right. Your spouse is selfish, at times proud, at times arrogant, irritable, self-absorbed, a sinner. But that person's spouse is also equally selfish, proud, arrogant, irritable, self-absorbed at times. We're all sinners. Now, if you marry a perfect person and you yourself are perfect, then maybe you'll have a perfect marriage. But because we're such a flawed people, because we're flawed creatures, no wonder our marriages are so difficult. It doesn't take very long before we realize it's not as easy as we thought it should be. All those unique little things that you loved when you were dating and courting become the very things, ironically, that grate on you the most. And we end up with frustration, disappointment, with disillusionment. At some point, you realize your marriage isn't ideal any longer. It's become an ordeal. And then after a few more months, a few more years, decades perhaps, you know what you eventually say next? I want a new deal. Maybe I just have to change my spouse, the way he thinks or the way he speaks to me, the way she nags at me, the way she's always late. If I could just change her, if I could just change him, our marriage would be happy again. I know a lot of people will go to marriage counseling. They want to fix their husband, fix their wife. People don't come to me and say, Pastor, I have a problem. Please help me with my marriage. They say, Pastor, we have a problem. Fix her because she is a problem. My marriage is difficult because she is difficult. If you could just change him, then our marriage would be good. Well, eventually marriages then move to one of three points. The first of those is no big deal. You just get along to get along. And you watch the months turn into years, years turn into decades, and you're just riding the storm, if you will. And it's no big deal. Ironically and sadly, it also could end up in another way, and that's a redeal. You know, in Vegas, when they have to redeal the cards. Maybe I've chosen the wrong spouse. Maybe it's time to throw all of my chips in and start all over. But I think there's a third possible destination. Because marriage really is a big deal. God created marriage. God designed marriage. He believes it to be a big deal. And God's will is certainly not about you getting a new deal, a redeal, if you will. But what if God is asking us in our marriages today to be something different? The purpose of marriage is to make us happy, right? Well, Scripture says that the purpose of marriage is to reflect Christ and His church. In Ephesians 5, verses 21 and 22, and then again in 25, it says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." And so our priority really should be to ask how we can be more like Christ as husbands, more like the church as wives. Instead of, "Please, God, change him. Please, God, change her," we should be instead praying, "God, change me so that I may become the man or woman you want me to be." So I propose that with this new normal, we have a new priority in our marriages as well, that we should become the real deal. Again, people want to be happy when they get married, and they want to stay happy. But what if marriage is not so much about your happiness as it is about your holiness? What if God's plan for you when you got married is not so much about your comfort as it is about your character? In other words, the priority in our marriage should be to embrace God's will in using our spouse and our intimate relationship to mold and shape us to being more Christ-like. Instead of saying, "Change my wife" or "Change my husband," we'll then begin to pray, "Change me, Lord." Instead of complaining about our spouse's failures and inadequacies, we can now keenly see our own sinfulness, our own failures in life. The number one priority in our marriage needs to change. It should be, "God, please change me." What if God is allowing us this season, this quarantine COVID-19 season, a season of reflection, a new normal, if you will, to see not so much our comfort, but our growth and our character, not so much to pursue happiness, but our holiness? Why is marriage such an ideal environment for us to grow as Christians? Why is marriage such a wonderful platform to God to change me into the real deal for my spouse? I think I see three reasons for that. Number one, because through marriage, I get to see my sinfulness. Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, every week, I get to stand up here and I preach. And I lead this church. I'm the pastor of this church. And it's very easy, possibly, for you guys to say, "Well, there's a good guy. There's a good guy we see in front of us." And it's very easy for me to think, "Hey, I'm the good guy here." But it's in my marriage that I really see just how ugly I truly am. It's in my marriage that I see my impatience, how quick I snap at people. It's in my marriage that I see how self-absorbed I am. Marriage is a great place for me to grow because it shows me who I really, really am. A quote that I read this week was, "One of the best wedding gifts God gave you was a full-length mirror known as your spouse." Because in marriage, we rub each other wrong ways so many occasions. Like a bridge, the weakness in our lives are shown up when the weight of marriage goes over it. When you look at a bridge, it looks strong, it looks stable. But when a heavy truck drives over it, you see the bridge shake and you hear the bridge creak. You realize it may not be as strong as you thought. So, Pastor, you're saying my wife is a truck. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying your marriage is like a truck that drives over your life and shows up your weaknesses, shows up your sinfulness. When we fight, we tend to look at one another and we see each other's angry faces and hear the ugliness coming out in their voices. But perhaps now we can instead use our marriage as a mirror to see ourselves. I think marriage is a great place where I can grow and become more like Jesus because it's in my marriage that I can really see for myself who I really am. Why is marriage then such a wonderful place for God to change me? I get to see my sinfulness, but secondly, because I get to see my security. See, properly viewed, marriage is a covenant before God and before man. In other words, it's an unconditional commitment. It's a promise made before God, regardless of how my spouse performs. It's in a marriage that I feel so secure that I can be myself and yet have the assurance that I can change to become a better man, a better woman. That's what you probably vowed on your wedding day, something like, "We promise to love and to cherish one another for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, death to us part." You realize that your vow did not say, "I promise to love her as long as she is lovely. I promise to love him if he's kind. In a marriage before God, there are no ifs. A marriage is meant to be an unconditional covenant before God. So marriage is a secure environment where I can be myself, where I can admit my faults and not be judged in a harsh way, where I know I'll be accepted and cherished, a place where I can say, honey, please forgive me, pray for me, help me to grow as a Christian. Otherwise, you're living kind of double life, aren't you? You're not able to admit your faults. You can't really say, hand in hand, let's fight together the sins in our lives. You're just pretending. It's a fake relationship because it's a fake life in a fake relationship. Today, there's a very popular arrangement in what's called friends with benefits. You know what that is? It's having a relationship without being married. Friends with benefits there then. People tend to think that living together is such a great idea because we stay with each other when it's nice and pleasurable, convenient. It's so liberating to live together, right? As long as I like her, I'll stay with her. And when I don't like her, I'll just move on to another person. But while people may think that's very liberating, it's actually very tiring. Also, think about it. If you really treasure this relationship with this other person, you always have to be promoting yourself. You always have to seek to impress. You always have to prove your worth to the other person. Because if you disappoint that other person, they can just walk away. It is, after all, just a relationship of convenience. There's no covenant there. There's no commitment. And you're so tired because you're constantly having to hide your flaws, hide your faults, prove your worth. And you never really know at any given time if he or she will accept you or love you for who you really are. That is not security. And in that kind of relationship, you can never really be yourself. You can never really grow into who you're supposed to be. But in a secure, covenantal marriage, I can grow. A place where we see each other's ugly sides, but we don't give up on each other. Instead, we say, let's forgive each other. Let's learn to encourage one another in this journey of life as we take and go on it together. Because remember, our new normal goal here is not happiness, but holiness in Jesus. So why marriage? Well, in marriage, I get to see my sinfulness. I get to see my security. And thirdly, because I get to see my satisfaction. See, from where I stand some 35 years later, marriage is really, really tough. Marriage to some is still an ordeal and so very disappointing. Many single people today think, all I need is a good wife or a good husband, and my life is just going to be perfect. Well, for all of us who have married, we'll tell you that will never be the case. Now, this is not a criticism against marriage or against our wives or our husbands, but let me tell you something. You are made for something far greater than any human person could ever fulfill. The reality is we're made by God, and we were made for God, and that great hole in our heart can never be filled with an ordinary, sinful being. When your husband or your wife disappoints, you get cruel and vindictive because you're subtly expecting them to satisfy your needs, and it's not happening, to bring your ultimate satisfaction, and they never are going to be able to do that. We're setting up our marriages for guaranteed failure, day in, day out, week in, week out, because we're demanding of a human being that which he or she could not possibly give us. There is only one being who can satisfy that yearning, that hole in our hearts, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in marriage, with all of its warts and all of its challenges, that I finally am convinced and realize that my satisfaction is not in any car, not in any house, not in any job, or really even in any person. I am made for God, and only Jesus Christ can lead me to God, and only Jesus Christ can fill that abyss that remains in my heart. Today's message for everybody is actually quite simple. My priority in marriage, my priority in any relationship, is to become the real deal. The priority of marriage today is not to say, God, please change my wife, please change my husband. It's to ask God, please change me. I read an interesting Facebook quote this week from a brand new bride. She said, there were countless times I wondered to myself what I got myself into and thought we were way too different in our upbringings, our culture, preferences, and values. But I continue to cling on to the hope that this was and is God's perfect plan for our lives, and that this marriage is the instrument he is using to shape us to be more like his son. I like that. There's no disillusionment there. The trials and afflictions of life are for our good. Romans 8:28 reminds us such. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Even in a complex relationship like marriage, it can be God's instrument for our holiness. To be good, be really good at anything, takes training, it takes practice, whether it's sports, whether it's music. You got to take the same jump shots over and over and over again, the same pitches, the same catches over and over again. In music, you got to play the same chords or sing the same lyrics over and over again to be better. Well, the same is true in life. God is putting you through training. Why? Because that's what we need in order to grow. You know, it's really easy to hear the Bible say, be humble, be patient, be gentle. It's very easy to know the theory, but it's hard to put it into practice. It's not so easy. So in marriage, your wife will tend to always irritate you the same way. Your husband will always frustrate you the same way. Count it as part of your spiritual training. We need to stop complaining about our spouse. Stop thinking to myself, give me a new deal or even a re-deal. I want to be the real deal. Think about it. In your marriage, God has given you a great personal trainer. Every couple can have one, or one for one, a one-on-one training. You realize then that Christian growth and discipleship is not just talked about and happening when you watch a sermon. Or if you are joining a small group, it's not just taking place when you have your daily devotions or you're in Christian discipleship. Listen to what Jesus says in John 15. Starts out, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. Your Father is like a farmer pruning and preparing the vine to be fruitful. God is growing you in your 1,001 decisions that you have to make each and every day, in the countless interactions you have with other people each and every day. And he's using people. He's using the bad driver on the road. He's using an unreasonable boss. He's using those people that have that grating personality that just gets to you. He's using them to grow you. And yes, he is also using your wife, using your husband. There are probably a host of reasons why you got married. Maybe you got into the marriage because you wanted to have a life partner. Maybe you got into the marriage because you wanted to have kids. You probably got into marriage for several reasons. But when you get into marriage, you realize, oh no, this is not the resort at the beach I thought it was going to be. Marriage is a spiritual weightlifting gym, and welcome to the club. May the new normal in our marriages mean we look at our partnerships in a whole new way. May we realize that we're not fighting each other, but we're fighting with and for each other. For some of you listening, you might be struggling with your marriage even today. Your marriage may even be extremely painful right now. And you're discovering for yourself that your marriage really doesn't satisfy in any way. In fact, it's just frustrating. The easy thing might be to throw in the towel and say, let's call it quits. I want to re-deal. I want to restart. But God has not called you to a comfortable life. He's called you to be in a Christ-like life. I pray that we can all use our marriages to look beyond our partner's faults. Instead, see our own sinfulness, our own insecurities, and our own satisfaction. The Bible tells me in John 15, 13, further on in that passage, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And John 3:16, a very familiar passage for all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I love to read that verse when I'm down. I love to read that verse, but trade out the pronouns with me. So for instance, reading it this way, for God so loved me that he gave his one and only Son, that if I believe in him, I will not perish, but I'll have eternal life. See, because of what Christ did for me, his love for me will never cease. His love for me will never be taken away. Nothing can ever separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. My friends, if you don't know Jesus today, let me tell you, Jesus saved a wretched man like me, and I can tell you, if not for Jesus, my marriage would have broken up long, long ago. Jesus and his gospel is still saving my marriage. And I say to you that Jesus can save your marriage. Jesus can save you. I've seen over and over again in this church and beyond how the gospel has changed lives and marriages. Would you humble yourself and come to Jesus Christ? Would you say to God, forgive me my sins. I repent of my selfishness and I want to live for your glory. I now realize that I'm enrolled in the spiritual gym to change me, to grow me. So make me more like Jesus, your Son. Acknowledge that he and he alone can redeem you from your sins and ask him to be Lord of your life and for him to change you into the person he wants you to be. I believe that will change your life. I believe that alone will change your marriage as you look to the love of Jesus and the beautiful purpose of God for you. Let's pray.